So we are starting four lines up from the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis. So Gemara says, okay. So Gemara is again discussing still what bracha are you making when you have cooked vegetables? You make a hadama on it or a shahakol. So the Gemara is going to say what's actually probably a rather disturbing story, and then it's going to bring a proof from that again, which bracha you're supposed to be making. So that's what we're continuing with. So the Gemara says, Maaser Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, Yirako She'arim Yotzi B'Hem Yidei Chavos B'Pesach. That the vegetables that a person uses to eat mara on Pesach, yotzi behen uvakalach shalahen, you're able to be yotzi yachiv with them, or also with their stalks. Avalo kavushin, velo shalukin, velo mevushalin. That's the key here. But you're not able to fulfill your chiv for marar. You're not able to do it if it was pickled or stewed or cooked. V'isakad, that's what Gemara asks. V'isakad, ayitach b'musayukai. And if you say that when you cook a vegetable that it still stays in the original status that it has as a vegetable, shluk and amaylo. So what does it make a difference if you cook the marar? Why should you not be able to continue to use that to be yotzi yachiv to eat the marar? Why is it that you're not able to do that? So my answer says, really, it's not a problem. Really, cooking the vegetables, it still maintains a vegetable identity, and you'd make a hadam on it. But the reason why you're not able to use cooked vegetables by the seder for that, shani hasam divinyan tam marar v'leka. The reason why you're not able to do it is because you need to have the taste of marar, and when you're cooking them, apparently you are taking out the taste of the marar. So even though it maintains a vegetable identity, that you make a bari priha dama on it if it was not Seder night, but it's not good enough that you should be able to use it if you are if you're eating it when to use it for the mitzvah mara. Okay, now this is the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to go into again. Well, first of all, question that Dan asked last night. Gemara asks it right now. So we said last night, we said the story over that they brought him this pit. They took out the pit. And then the question was about what bracha you're going to make on it. But you had asked, how is it that you're going to make a bracha afterwards if you don't have enough of a shear? Because it's kazayas. It's an olive. It's literally an olive. That is the shear. It's a kazayas. So if you had one olive, you took the pit out, you have less than an olive. So how is it that you'll be able to make a bracha afterwards? So Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Yirmi L'Rab Zeira. Rabbi Yochanan, heichim yivarech al zayis meliach. How is it that Rabbi Yochanan was able to make a bracha achrona on this olive when he was done eating it? Kivin the shlika legarine, once they took the pit out of it, we're turning now to lama testament olive. Once they took the pit out of it, batzer leishira, you have less than a shear to make an ala eight. So everyone admits again that you would make a bracha beforehand because, as we said a few blot ago, that you're not allowed to eat anything in this world without making a bracha on it. But how is it that he was able to make a bracha afterwards? If he took the pit out of the olive, then you're going to have less than an olive's worth, and you don't make a bracha on something when it's less than a kazayas. So Amarlay, so he said back, me as far as kazayas gadalda b'inyan, do you think that in order to make a bracha achrona, you need to eat a large kazayas? Kazayas b'inyan b'inyan, you only need to have a medium-sized olive. And you have that here. Vahuda Aisu, the Kaimid Rabbi Yochanan, the olive that they brought before Rabbi Yochanan, Zayas Gadol Hava, it was a large olive. The Afal Gav, the Shakluha, the Granuse, even though they had taken the pit out of the olive, Pashle Shiro, there was still enough of the amount that you needed to be able to make a bracha achrona. The Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah, Zayis She'amru, that the Mishnah, that the olive, the size that we said that we talked about that you need to make a bracha achrona, lo katum lo gadol, it's not talking about a small size olive or a large size olive, elabainini, but it's the medium one. It sounds like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, like it's just right in the middle. That's what you need. Zeu agure, and this is called an aguri olive. And the Gemara is going to explain now what this aguri olive is. So, but the bottom line is that the reason why he was making a bracha afterwards is because he had a very large olive, and when you took out the pit, you still had enough of a shear left that you'd be able to make a bracha achron on it. Okay. Vamarabavar Bavo says, Lo Agure Shemo, this olive that we were discussing, which stores its juices in it, Lo Agure Shemo, it's not called Agure Ela Avrute Shemo. Okay. Vamrila Samruse Shemo, and some say that it's called Samruse, not Avrute, and some say it's not called Agure, whatever that means. I'm not sure why the Gemara brings this down here. Vlama Nirka Shemo Agure, so why does the Gemara, this olive pit, why is it called an agure? Shemano agur besocha, because its oil is gathered. The word agure means to gather up, that its juices are gathered up in it, and that's why we call it an agure. Okay, so now, again, we still have the question, do you make a shahakol or do you make a hadama on cooked vegetables? So now the Gemara is going to say a very interesting story, which has a sad ending. Okay. Nebuchadnezzar, let's say it's a machlokas tanoim as to whether you make a shahakol or a hadama on cooked vegetables. Tehanu trei tamidei tehav yasu kami debar kapara. There are these two students that are sitting before kapara, and these two students are the ones that we're talking about, that they are that they're the tanaim that we're referring to. They weren't just two students; they were actually tanaim that were sitting before him. And heviel lefanav kruv vidur maskin upargios. They brought before them a cabbage. The starmuskin, which is it's a I'm not sure what that is, and also pargio, which is a meat. So nasan bar kapara rishul so echem and levarich. So bar kapara said to one of the talmidim that they could go and make a bracha on the food, and they could pick whichever food they wanted to make the bracha. So kafa tuveri chala pargio. So one of the students stood up and he made a shahakol on the pargio. So right, he made it on the meat that was before him. That's what he made the bracha on. So the other student that was there, Ligleg Lav Chaveru, his friend started laughing at him that he did this, and he made a bracha, a shahakol, when instead he should really made the bracha on the cabbage, because the cabbage is a hadama, and the pargiot are a shahakol. So his fellow students started laughing at him that he did this, he made this faux pas, and he made the bracha, the shahakol first. So Bar Kapara got angry. Amar, and he said to the students, I'm not upset with the person who made the bracha on the pargiot. That's not the one I'm angry with. I'm angry on the person who was laughing at him. Because he said to the one who was laughing, if your fellow student is like someone who's as if he never had eaten meat before, he'd never eaten this pargiot, so it's so dear to him, and the Gemara is going to be discussing now, which we will be discussing more at length later, do you make a bracha if you have something that's chaviv to you, that's dear to you? Does that take precedence over other foods that you have in front of you? So Bar Kapara was saying to him, if your fellow student, it was so dear to him that he hadn't eaten this type of meat before, and he wanted to eat pargiot, so he makes a shahakol. So Atamagdalov, what are you laughing at about him for? But then Bar Kapara said to the other student, Lo al magal hani koes. I'm not upset with the one that was laughing at you. That's not the one I'm upset with. El al mevarich hani koes. I'm angry with you, the one that was making the bracha. You who got up and made a shahakol on the pargiot. I'm upset with you. Why? But Amar, and he said the reason why he's angry. Im chachma enkan zikna enkan. Even if you don't know that if you don't know what bracha to make first, if you know you're a Talmud, so you're sitting in front of your Rebbe, and they bring before you three different foods, some are hadama, some are shahakol. So if you don't know what to make a bracha on first, why don't you ask me? I'm your Rebbe, I'm sitting right here. You should be asking me, what bracha do you make on it? So I'm upset with both. So he was upset with the one that laughed at him, because he said that there was a basis for him making the bracha, and he was upset with the one that made the bracha, because he was saying that he should have asked which bracha to make first. Tana, and then this is a sad ending to the Braisa. Ushnam lahotzi ushnas, and the both of them died within the year. So again, there must have been something else that was going on here, because you know it's hard to imagine that they died just because of this incident that happened. There must have been something else that was happening also. But anyway, but the point is that we say. But so now we're going to get back to our Gemara now, talking about what bracha you make on cooked vegetables. So my lab, how come ifligi? It must be that this is what the two students were arguing about. The mevarich savar shlako supargio shahakol niyebid varo. The one that was making the bracha held that cooked vegetables and pargiot are both the same bracha, because if you have a cooked vegetable, it's a shahakol, and if you have meat, it's a shahakol. So therefore, he said hilka chavivavis. So he said to himself, you know what? I'm going to make the bracha on the thing that's dearer to me instead, and therefore I want to make I'm going to make a bracha on that. Umilagleg savar shlakos bari pri adama. He said that if you have cooked vegetables, you make a hadama, and pargiot shahakol niyebid varo, and the meat was only a shahakol. Hilkach pera adif. Therefore, he should have made the bracha on the cabbage first instead of on the meat, which was dearer to him. So Gemara says, you know, so therefore, but you see, it's machlokas tanaim that's taking place, whether you make a shahakol or whether you make hadama. And then the Gemara says, lo, the kuliyama shlakos upargios shahakol niyebid varo. Everyone agrees that if you have this cooked vegetables or if you have these pargiot, that they're both going to be that you make a shahakol. The halacha b'hai svara kamifligi, they argue with this. Mar sabar chavivadif, that one of them, the one who made the bracha, held that you go by whatever is dearer to you, whichever one you desire more, so therefore you make a bracha on that. Mar sabar kruv adif design, and the other one said no, that you make a bracha on the cabbage because it's zon. It's something that provides sustenance, so since it has more of a sustenance a reasoning, therefore you would make a bracha on that one first. Okay. Amar Rav Zeira, Kiavinim Be Rav Huna, when we were learning by Rav Huna, Amar Lan, he said to us, Hani gar glidi de lift up. You have these turnips. Pramenu prima rabba. If you cut them up into large pieces, bari priadama, then you make a bari priadama. And this is going back again on the Gemara that we learned a couple of nights ago, where we said that if you take a food and you crush it, and it still maintains some of its form, then it still maintains its bracha that you had originally. So if you take these turnips and you cut them up into relatively large slices, then you still make a hadam on them. Prima zuta, but if let's say you start slicing them and dicing them, shahakal niyabidvar, then you make a shahakal. The chias and lebe Rav Yehuda, and then when we came to Rav Yehuda, Amar Lan, he told us, aidi va'aidi bari pri adam, you make a adam on both of them. V'haidi parmin hu tve, and the reason why they slice and dice these turnips up even more than into smaller pieces, ki hechi dinimtik tamiya. The only reason why they're doing that is because it should taste even sweeter, because apparently by cutting them up even more, you're releasing more of the flavoring of the turnip, but regardless, it's still turnip flavor that you're tasting, and you would make a bari pri adam on it. Okay, next Gemara. Amravashi, ki avina be Rav Kahana, when we were learning by Rav Kahana, Amarlan, he said to us, Tavshila, desalka, delo mafshu be kimchav. You have a beet dish, which they did not add flour to it. Bari priadama, then just like any other vegetable, you'd make a bari priadama on it. Delifta, de mafshu be kimchav. But if let's say you would add flour into these turnips, bari minei mezonos, and you make a bari minei mezonos. And then he took that back and he said, Aidi va aidi bari pri adam, you make adam on both of them. Vahai the shadi be kim chatfein, the reason why they added in the flour, the dabuke ba'ama of the law, they did it for the purpose of just making that they should be able to stick together closer. And the reason why this Gemara is very, every Gemara is important, but the reason why this Gemara is important is because this is what licorice, the machlokas by licorice, if you make a brahmi name zonos or if you make a shahakal. So I think it's widely accepted that you make a shahakal on licorice because the flour that they have in there is more to is that it should stick together, not that it's not adding any flavoring, anything else. That's why you make a shahakal. But that comes from this Gemara over here that's talking about turnips, and they would have flour in the dish if you made a bari minei mezonos or a hadama. Amrav Chizda, Tavshil Shed, Trudin, Yafal. So it's now talking about, once we're talking about beets, so now it's talking about a little bit some of the beneficial qualities that there are in eating beets. Amrav Chizda, Tavshil Shed, Trudin, Yafal Alev. If you have a cooked beet, it's good for the heart. V'tov le'inayim, it's good for the eyes. V'chol shekein levnei, it's good for the digestive system. Amar Abai, v'hudi yasiv abe tfei v'av v'toch toch. That when we say that the beets are good for you and all the qualities that it has, that's only talking about if you let it, it sat on the stove and it was bubbling and was making a sound like toch toch, which is, I guess, is the Gemara's way of imitating what boiling beets sound like, but it would make this bubbling sound. That's once it's cooked at that point, then you're able to. That's when you're able to eat it. Amra Papa Pshitali Maya. Okay, so now this Gemara is going to talk about if you have vegetable soups. What broch you make on vegetable soups? You make a adam or do you make a shahakal on it? So Amra Papa Pshitali Maya de silka kisilka, that if you have a soup of, if you made beets and you cook them, then they're just like the beets and you make a hadam on it. Umaya de lifta kalifta, and if you have turnips, then you cook the turnips, then you also make a hadam on that. Umaya de kulushlaki kulushlakin, and the same thing with all vegetables. If you cook them, you're going to, you are going to make a hadam on it. Now this Gemara is a little bit in contradiction, not in contradiction, but we had, the Gemara talked about if you had date honey, if you had the juices that come out from the dates, we said that you make a shahakal on it. So Mefarshim say, why is it that by vegetables we're saying that you make a bari pri adama, like if you take these vegetables and you cook them, then you make a bari pri adama, but when it comes to fruits, then you make a bari pri. So there's many different answers given for that. Some of them are, one answer that's given is because it really depends what the purpose is. A lot of time vegetables are grown for the purpose of using them in some sort of cooking process. So if you're cooking them, you know, from the time that they're in the ground, the purpose is to take the vegetables. You're never intending to eat them as they are. You're really intending to cook them all along, so you're going to do that. When it comes to fruits, usually you don't have fruits like, fruits are, you know, like apples. Apples are not made, primarily, they're not made for cooking. Apples are made for eating. You get the juice out of them. In order to get the juice out of them, you really got to work the apple very hard. You have to really, like, squeeze it in order to get the juice out. But I did hear, and there wasn't a good answer, he didn't have a good answer, the person I was listening to this year from. He said the question really comes up when you have, these orange where you grow the oranges. They grow them specifically for to drink. So that question comes up, then why wouldn't you make a Bari Priya 8 on them? Because they're grown from the very time that they're grown. You should really be, you know, you're really growing them just so you could drink them. You're not growing them for, like, a lot of times you're taking an apple or you're taking an orange and you're sucking out the juice, but you're eating the orange also. Here they take the oranges and they're doing them just to grow them so that they can be able to make orange juice from it. So it's a question why you wouldn't make a Bari Priya 8 on the juice. But anyway, so for the vegetable soups, if you have them, you cook vegetables in them, then the soup that you make from it, right, the water that was in there that now has the taste of the vegetables in it, you make a Bari Priya Dama. Bari Rapapa, Maya Deshifta Mai. What is the halacha when it comes to dill? If you cook a dill, what is halacha? Limtuke Taima Avdi. Do we say that the dill is there to, and I don't cook, so I don't know, but the dill apparently enhances the flavor. It does? Okay, it's used for flavoring. So do you say that you're using it to enhance the flavor? Ola Bruye Zahuma Avila, or is it just coming to remove the byproducts of the food that you're cooking in? Is it just coming to remove the byproduct? And so if it's coming because it's enhancing the flavor, you'd make a Bari Priya Adama. But if it's just coming to remove some of the byproducts of the food that you're cooking it in, then it would just be a shahakal. So Tashmar, we're going to try to bring a raya, we're trying to bring a proof. Hashabas, if you have a dill, Mishanas Natam B'kdeira, once it's given over its flavor into a dish, Eimba Mishum Truma, then if this dill was truma when you put it in, once it imparts its flavor, it no longer is considered truma anymore because the dill itself, after the flavor has departed it, it's worthless. It's not considered a food anymore. Ve'enim etama tumas ochlim. The halacha is that you have foods. Foods are able to make things tameh. You have something called tumas ochlim. So, but the dill, once it imparts its flavor into the dish, it can no longer do tumas ochlim. Shmami nalam tuke taima avdilo. So you see from here that it's made to enhance the flavor and not just to remove the impurities of whatever dish it's being used for. Shmamina, so we do learn from there that again, because it imparts the flavor, you would make a Bari Priya Ha'adama. And we will stop here tonight.
Going back to the